All right, I think we're going to start here. We are on a very interesting chapter, as a matter of fact, Deuteronomy chapter 34. I believe that this is for Transfiguration Sunday. So we have a couple of great texts here, the one from Luke, which Dr. Gibbs will be going over, and then this one from Deuteronomy chapter 34. It's an interesting chapter, the last chapter of Deuteronomy, in which the death of Moses is recorded. And so it's kind of an appropriate text for Transfiguration as well, and obviously hooks up well to the gospel lesson, as you will see. The text really, the thing begins in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 48, because it is there that Yahweh gives Moses the command to go up to Mount Nebo. And so he gives him that command and talks to him a little bit, and we'll go to that verse in a few minutes, from 48 through 52. And then you have chapter 33, kind of as an interruption between these two sections, in which Moses gives this blessing to the people. And it's quite a lengthy chapter, as you can see. And that's why chapter 34, verse 1, starts off with that vav consecutive, vaya'al, because in chapter 32, God has given him the command to ale, to go up. And so this is the continuation of that. So, of course, Moses obeys and he goes up. And so we'll start then with 34, verse 1. Vaya'al Moshe, me'arvot Moav, el har Nevo, Rosh HaPisgah, Asher al-Pnei Yerecho. Moses went up from the plains of Moab. Now it says, to Mount Nebo. And then it says, the top of Pisgah. Most people think, well, some scholars, I guess, think that it's referring to two different peaks that are close together, namely Pisgah and Nebo. It could also be understood that Pisgah refers more to a mountain range, and that Mount Nebo is like the most prominent part of that, okay? But Moab, again, what the area that we're talking about is east of the Jordan River, northeast then of the Dead Sea, all right? So, and it's opposite Jericho, Asher al-Pnei Yerecho, which is literally at the face of Jericho, but opposite Jericho. Vayar Ehu, Yahweh et kol ha'aretz, et ha-gil'ad ad-dan, ve'et kol naftali, ve'et eretz Ephraim, u-menashe, ve'et kol eretz Yehuda, ad ha-yam ha-acharon. He went up to Mount Nebo opposite Jericho, and Yahweh showed him. That's from Ra'ah, Hifil, Vav consecutive imperfect, plus third masculine singular suffix. Yahweh showed him all the land. And now you have a series of ets there, which are all in apposition. Well, they are a series now. And the sense that you get is that Moses is facing north on Mount Nebo, and Yahweh shows him the different areas of the land that Israel was going to inherit, going in a counterclockwise direction. And so he starts from, he showed him all the land, it says, namely Gilead unto Dan. So he goes north and then to the west, and all of Naphtali, and the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, and all the land of Judah up until the sea Ha'acharon. Basically, it's the sea, behind sea. Namely, Acharon is used in the sense of western here, the western sea, namely the Mediterranean. And then he continues, verse 3, Ve'et ha-Negev, ve'et ha-Kikar, Bikat, Yerecho, Ir ha-Temarim, ad Zoar. And the Negev, so now we're down to the south, and ha-Kikar. Kikar is used in several different senses. It basically means a circle or a disc. So sometimes it means a loaf of bread, but it doesn't mean that Yahweh showed him a loaf of bread here, but rather the plains or the environs, you could almost translate that, namely the Bikat Yericho, the Valley of Jericho. So you can see he's gone all the way down in a circle and now has come up north a little bit to opposite where he's looking, to Jericho. The city of the palms, Hatemarim, Ad Zohar, and that's south of the Dead Sea, to Zohar. So he showed him all the promised land. And then he continues, verse 4. Vayomer Adonai Elav, Zot Haaretz Asher Nishbati, Leavraham, Leitzchak, U Leyakov, Lemor, Let Zar Aka Et Nena, Her Itika, Be'eneka, Shama Lo Ta'avor. Yahweh said to him, "This is the land which I swore," from Shabbat, and remember it appears in the Niphal, "which I swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, saying, let Zaraka, to your seed, et nena, I will give it." Notice that that is a call, imperfect, from Natan, with a third feminine singular suffix, et nena, I will give it. Now, Her itika, I have shown you. I have shown you, again from Ra'ah, a hifil. Ra'ah means to see, and the hifil means to show, plus second masculine singular suffix. I have shown it to you, be'eneka, with your eyes. Okay, so you've seen it with your own eyes. Now the adversative vav, veshama, and notice you have a locative hey there, but to there, lo ta'avor, you will not cross over. So Moses was not to be permitted to cross over the Jordan. What this particular section of Scripture doesn't tell us is why. And it's kind of rather interesting. Most of you are probably familiar with it. In Exodus 17, if you will remember, beginning at the 17th verse, the children of Israel had just crossed the Red Sea, and they weren't even to Sinai yet when they started grumbling, if you will remember. The Lord comes to Moses and tells him to hit a rock. Remember, they were grumbling because they didn't have water. Tells him to hit the rock, and water will come out. So Moses obeys, and water gushes out and gives the people something to drink. Well, here, 40 years later, all right, the last year of their wandering in the wilderness, they are at Kadesh Barnea, the place where 40 years earlier the children of Israel had sent the spies, remember, and the spies came back with a bad report, and they rebelled, and because of that they had to wander 40 years in the same place. The people are grumbling again, and the Lord comes to Moses and tells him to speak to the rock, if you will remember, and water will come out. Well, Moses, instead of speaking to the rock, he's supposed to take his rod and gather the people. So he takes his rod, gathers all the people, and then instead of speaking to the rock, he strikes it, and he says something else. He says something like, are we the ones to bring water out of this rock, namely him and Aaron? And he strikes the rock. 40 years later, the last year in the wilderness, and because of that, Yahweh tells him that he can't enter the promised land. And these sections really bear closer reading. I'm going to give them to you so that you can look at them. It's kind of interesting. Numbers 20, verses 9 through 13, and Numbers 27, verses 12 through 14, and then Deuteronomy 32, verses 48 through 52, all talk about this. Again, Numbers 29 through 13, Numbers 27, 12 through 14, and Deuteronomy 32, 48 through 52. They all talk about what happened here. And in all of them, God says something like this. He says that the reason that Moses is not able to cross over is because, in one instance, he didn't trust me to sanctify me in front of the people. Another one says that he acted without faith. The verb ma'al means to act faithlessly in not sanctifying or making God holy in front of the people. And another one, he rebelled against my word. All right? So those three sections give that reason. But there's three other sections of Scripture that I think are interesting as well. Deuteronomy 1, verse 37, Deuteronomy 3, verse 23, and Deuteronomy 4, verse 21. In all of those sections, Moses says that the reason he wasn't able to cross over the Jordan, and he's, remember, preaching to the people, is because God got angry at him on account of the people. For the sake of the people, it says on one hand. Okay, lema'an kem. And so you can look at it this way, you know, and people in the parish will always ask you, wasn't God just so unfair? Here Moses was, 40 years in the wilderness. He slips up once, and all he does is hit the rock twice. Compared to everything all the other people did, he doesn't get to go in. It just doesn't seem fair. And I think there's two ways to look at it according to Moses' response. One way, you see, it's kind of this illustration of how impossible it is to reach the kingdom of God by trying to keep the law. You know, it shows you in one sense the strictness of the law and the impossibility of it. Even a man such as Moses, who was incredibly faithful except in this one little thing, didn't cross over. And on the other hand, too, it shows you a little bit about the nature of grace. You know, the Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 23 is very poignant, because there Moses says that he pleaded, et chanein, I asked for grace and asked the Lord if I could cross over. And God got very blunt with him, and he really said, if you look at it, very strong terms, don't talk to me again about this, you won't cross over. Grace can't be merited or earned. Grace is grace, and so it shows us that as well. Taking the other aspect that Moses said that I bore this anger on account of you, you get a sense of the vicarious aspect of what happened to Moses, that God poured out his anger on Moses, and Moses bore the brunt of it. So again, there's some, you know, homiletical material that you can make by looking at some of these parallel texts for what happened to Moses. Kind of very interesting, I thought. Okay, so we continue then. God tells him he's not going to cross over, and then we go to verse 5. Vayamat sham Moshe, Eved Yahweh be'eretz Moav, al pi Yahweh. Then Moses died from mut, again, call imperfect vav consecutive. Moses died there. Notice how he describes Moses, an Eved Yahweh, a servant of the Lord. There are not a lot of people that are called Eved Yahweh in the Old Testament. He basically reserves it for the patriarchs, for Moses, for the prophets, and of course for the servant himself in Isaiah. So again, it shows that Moses' position and his relationship with the Lord. He was the servant of Yahweh in the land of Moses, according to the mouth of Yahweh, literally, according to the word of Yahweh. Okay, verse 6, Vayikbor oto bagai be'eretz Moav, mul beit peor, velo yada ish et kevurato, ad hayom hazeh. So then he buried him. From what follows, notice the subject isn't really given, but from what follows, we surmise that it was Yahweh, although it doesn't say that. But he buried him in the valley. Now notice the note down there, the usual spelling is with an aleph at the end, gai, and it's with the definite article. And again, it's to be supposed that it's a specific valley in mind, namely a valley in the valley in the land of Moab. All right, Mul, opposite the Beit Peor again. Okay, the location. Velo yada, and a man did not know, or no one knew, et kevurato, his burial place. Ad Hayom Hazen, till this day. Now, of course, you have that passage in the book of Jude, chapter 9, if you will recall, where Jude evidently takes something from apocryphal sources and gives that little excerpt of the angel Michael was struggling with Satan, I believe, right, Jeff? Yeah, for the body of Moses. Very interesting. Yeah. And so there were apocryphal, you know, you notice the text leaves this mystery. It's kind of a mysterious thing here. And of course, people try to fill the gap with what happened to the body of Moses. But the text simply says that he was buried there and no one knew where it was. So God took, I guess God took care of it, some way you could say. All right. Moshe ben Mea ve Esrim, Esrim Shana, I'm sorry, Esrim Shana bemoto, lo kahata eno velo nas lecho. Now Moses was a son of 120 years. That's an idiom for he was 120 years old, bemoto, at his death. Lo kata, that's from the root kaf hehe, again a call, third feminine singular, was not dimmed, eno, his eye. His eye was not dimmed, didn't need contacts or glasses. Velo nas, that's from the root nous, which means to flee, and did not flee. Lecho, that's a hapax. Leach means moisture or freshness. So his freshness did not slip away. And probably that means he was still vigorous for a 120-year-old guy. All right? As fresh as a 120-year-old guy can be, I guess he was fresh. All right? He had good eyes and still energy, I suppose, is what that means. Okay, verse 8. Vayivku b'nei Yisrael et Moshe be'ar vot Moav shaloshim yom. The first verb is vayivku from baka, call imperfect, vav consecutive. The children of Israel, notice that the object is Moses, so you would translate it, the children of Israel bewailed Moses. Or as most translations, mourn for Moses, but really, literally, bewailed Moses in the plains of Moab for 30 days. Vayitmu yimei baki evel Moshe. And then, now, they were completed from the root tamam, tav mem mem, okay, imperfect again. The days of mourning were completed. Notice you have a mercha tifcha after beki, which means that the yemei beki goes together and the evel Moshe go together. So the days of weeping were completed, namely mourning for Moses. All right, subjective genitive, or objective genitive. The mourning for Moses. All right, now we switch. Vihoshua bin Nun, malei ruach chokma, ki samak Moshe et yadav alav. Joshua, the son of Nun, malei participle, was full of the spirit of wisdom. Very interesting. Isaiah 11, remember the spirit of wisdom rested on or Isaiah 40, right? No, Isaiah what? Isaiah 11, the spirit of Yahweh, the spirit of wisdom rested on the seed of Jesse, right? All right, so he was full of the spirit of wisdom because Moses had samacht his hand on him, had put his hand on him. He was ordained, I suppose, properly ordained. Vayishme'u elav b'nei Yisrael vayasu ka'asher tziva Yahweh et Moshe. And they listened to him, namely the children of Israel. And they did as Yahweh commanded Moses. Velo kam navi od beYisrael kemoshe, asher yedao Yahweh panim el panim. There has not risen a prophet, a navi, again, od, in Israel, kemoshe as Moses, who God knew, who Yahweh knew him, literally. Notice the resumptive pronoun after yedao. Okay, so it's literally who he knew him, Yahweh. Namely, whom Yahweh knew. That's how we would say it. Whom Yahweh knew face to face. Now that lamed here in verse 11 is like a specification in respect to is how you translate it. Lekol ha'otot v'ha moftim asher shalacho Yahweh la'asot be'eretz Mitzrayim. In respect to all the signs and the wonders which Yahweh sent him to do in the land of Egypt. All right. lefaro, u lekol avadav, u lekol artso, to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land. U lekol hayad hachazaka, u lekol hamora hagadol. And in respect to all the, literally that's all the hand, the strong hand. But yad here is means power, as it does often in the Old Testament. And in respect to all the strong power, mighty power, and in respect to all the mora, that's from yare, to fear. So mora is awe or terror. And in respect to all the great awe, Asher asam Moshe, which Moses did, le'ene, in the eyes of all of Israel. All right, and that ends the story of Moses. And there what you have at the bottom of your Masoretic text is a bunch of Masoretic notes on the number of verses it has there. Then it goes to what's the words that are halfway through the book of Deuteronomy, then the number of verses in the whole Torah, the number of seders or sections in the Torah, the number of words in the Torah, and then the number of letters in the Torah. So you guys can translate that by yourself. All right? Good enough.